Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm going to give you a lesson in annual conference. I know Joel is saying, yay, oh boy, oh boy. Joel's mom is a bishop, so he knows all about annual conference. You probably had to go there and hang out with all the other PKs, didn't you? Yeah. Pastor's kids. Last week was our annual conference meeting for the Rocky Mountain Conference. That's what you belong to. You belong to the Rocky Mountain Conference of the United Methodist Church. And every year there's an annual meeting. And our conference consists of Colorado, Utah, and part of Wyoming. So as you can see, it's geographically huge, huge area. And it's a required meeting. It is where much of the work of the church is done. So every year, the local church has a charge conference. Every year, the annual conference has a meeting. And then every 4 years, the whole church has a general conference. Now, every year when it starts to come up, I start to dread it because it's a four-day meeting. And we sit, and then we sit some more, then when we're done with that, we sit. And we listen, and there are reports, and then we sit. And then we eat, because we're Methodists, and then we sit. It is an interesting time. I always enjoy it a lot more than I expect to. Because I get to catch up with my colleagues, say hey to everybody, have lunch with a few people. You know, there's nothing like 800 or 900 United Methodists singing. There just isn't. We're a musical bunch. And the many of the pastors and the laity are very musically inclined. And so it's just heavenly singing. That part is wonderful. We do a lot of praying. A lot of praying. We stop and pray before we do everything. Every single vote. Before every single vote in the plenary session or the legislative session, you stop and you pray. So we probably prayed about 300 times in 4 days, which I figure now I'm sort of caught up for a while. Nah, just kidding. There is one other thing that happens every year that's glorious, and that's the ordination ceremony. So those people who are being licensed towards becoming local pastors, the people who are being commissioned towards both deacon and elders' orders, and then the people who are ordained. That service is meaningful, it's beautiful, it just makes your heart move. And this year, for those of you who remember Lydia Butner, she used to be a member of our church. She was commissioned towards deacon's orders. She is doing chaplaincy and hospital work. And that's where she was working before in the hospital as an administrator, and now she's moved into a pastoral role. So she sends her greetings to all of you because this is where she started her journey. This year, there were 320 clergy members voting present. There were 326 lay members. Our lay representative is in Rome singing her heart out for the Pope, not with the Pope, as like Liz likes to say, Kathy Moore. She thought it sounded a lot more interesting if Kathy was singing with the Pope instead of for the Pope. But Kathy Moore has been a longtime member of this church, and she has served as our lay representative for about 4 years now, and she never misses a beat. She's there bright and early. She stays until the end of the day. She attends every single meeting faithfully. And I'm talking a lot of sitting, 12 hours some days. So when Kathy comes back from her singing tour, I want you all to thank her for her ministry as lay leader of the congregation. There were 190 churches present. The way it works is there's one laity for every full-time clergy. So for example, we have one full-time clergy, we have one laity person who can vote. And Pastor Carrie is half-time, and she still belongs to the New England Conference. And this is where the United Methodist Church gets really messy. She's an associate member of this conference, so she got to vote on petitions, but she didn't get to vote on our delegates for general conference. And our delegates, I have to tell you, we have three delegates to general conference next year. Three young people were voted in this year. The old guard didn't make it. I love the old guard. I've voted for all of them many times. They're all great people, but it was glorious to see people in their 20s and 30s be voted to general conference. So Brad Lovrick, Jessica Rook, who grew up in this church and was baptized here and is at Cameron, and Trudy Robinson, who's a dear friend of mine, are our three delegates. We also have seven delegates to jurisdictional council, and I'm not going to explain why because I wasn't completely clear myself. But that's the council where they vote for bishops. That's where, you know, Joel's mother went and made speeches and then sat down and they voted, and then the pool gets smaller and smaller, and then it's announced. No white smoke goes up like at the Vatican, but it's pretty interesting process. The budget, I know you're loving this because most of you don't know any of this, right? So that's the reason I'm doing it. There's a sermon here too, pretty soon. The budget was voted on and approved, $5,500,000 for our conference. That goes to support all the boards and agencies in the United Methodist Church. It goes to help support the mission of the United Methodist Church. It goes to support the cost of running the conference, and it also goes to support the bishop's salary, the district superintendent's salaries, and so forth. So the apportionments, the part that we give from our giving back to the United Methodist Church, goes into that budget. And every church is asked to give 13% of all the income they bring in, including rental income and giving back to the conference. So the budget was approved. And I want to tell you real quickly that the whole thing is run with Robert's Rules of Orders and a book of discipline up there, and people walking around with the book of discipline under their arm, yanking it out. I think we're out of order. The bishop is trained in Robert's Rules of Orders and will say that's out of order. And there's a whole panel sitting up there telling us what we can and cannot do at certain times. We have voting cards. There's cards that you hold up if you want to speak, and you have to go to a microphone and be recognized, and all goes in the minutes. It's all very, very, very official. There's plenary sessions where everybody's invited. We're all together and we vote on some things. And there's legislative sessions where you go in the evening. I was in one, Kathy was in a different one, Carrie was in a different one. And that's where all the petitions get presented. There were five or six different legislative bodies, and people get up and speak. Well, that's where Michael House got up to speak. Michael's camping this weekend, so he can't hear me say how wonderful and funny he was. But he got up and presented the petition that we agreed to present from the Reconciling Ministries on allowing clergy to perform marriages, civil unions, and unions in the churches. And Michael got up and presented it and ended with a story that someday he's going to have to tell you about how he can't stand his brother-in-law. It was hysterical. But I'll let you tell him. And afterwards I said, was that supposed to be funny? And he said, yes. And I said, good, because everybody was laughing at him. I was so hoping that it was meant to be funny, but he did a wonderful job. So let me tell you what happened in all these sessions. Almost every single petition passed. There were eight different petitions that had to do specifically with our position and the language in the Book of Discipline about homosexuality. Now, every year I go to annual conferences, and this is the part I dread the most, is to go in there and to listen to the contentious arguments, to listen to people go up to the microphone and say things that are ungracious. I went to general conference a few years ago, and I came back brokenhearted as I watched people being arrested and people outside screaming, and Fred Phelps was out there with his horrible band from Kansas screaming. And it was a really horrible and trying time, and I wondered at that time how I remain in the church when I'm in myself in such tension with the church. And every year at annual conference, in those legislative sessions, there's those petitions. And the person who presents it is considered a speech in favor of. And so then you get two more speeches in favor and three against. And so it starts. In the session that I was in, we had one person present the issue of the church recognizing marriage between same-sex partners. And the person at the front said, okay, now we've had one speech for, are there any speeches against? And, you know, you just kind of take a deep breath and you think, okay, now the fight begins. This is where we can't seem to treat each other very well. And a gentleman got up to the microphone, and he was an older gentleman, and he said, I agree with everything you just said about the rights of gay and lesbian people if you would just change the word marriage to civil union. That was the only discussion. And when he said it, he said something else. He said, otherwise, we're on a slippery slope. And what I was thinking at the time is, yes, we are. We're on a slippery slope towards total inclusion, love, compassion, mercy, Jesus's teachings. We're on the slippery slope, God's slippery slope. But he was gracious, this man, and after we voted, it was overwhelmingly voted in favor of. I sat there and I thought, something has changed, and the winds of change are here, and this year maybe we really are on the slippery slope. And it reminded me of Jesus' discussion with the elders of his own faith. The Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat. And he answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God? For the sake of your tradition. For the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God. For the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God. And what I was witnessing was that the people of God, faithful people, were reinterpreting what God's love looked like in the tradition of today. And that the whole byproduct of what we were watching was grace. It was grace, this unexpected gift. Paul Tillich, who's one of my favorite old-time theologians, said, sin is estrangement. Grace is reconciliation. And in both the legislative sessions and the general sessions, we watched over and over and over again reconciliation. Grace was everywhere. I heard one report that in one of the legislative sessions, one person used some really hateful language. But it was the only time in 4 days that it had happened. The Holy Spirit was moving among us and through us, and the sin of estrangement was being called out. Today's gospel lesson, I haven't even given it to you yet. How about that? Today's gospel lesson from the lectionary reminds us of God's call to offer grace. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What I witnessed is that our GLBT brothers and sisters were being offered a cup of cold water. And I thought we should celebrate this. We finally won the votes, overwhelmingly won the votes. Shouldn't we yell hallelujah? Shouldn't we yell amen? It was that moment of feeling the joy of inclusion. And in the plenary session, when the consensus calendars were adopted and all the ones that are typically contentious that are passed in the legislative body weren't pulled off so we could debate them once again, there were two or three people who began to clap and then it stopped for a couple reasons. You're not supposed to clap after any vote, ever, Robert's Rules of Order. But it was way more than that. Sin is estrangement. Grace is reconciliation. In every session, there were a few green cards held up that went against changing all the language in the Book of Discipline. And there were faithful people there voting no. And what I wondered is, wouldn't that moment have been spoiled if now those who voted no became the outsiders? When I read Jesus' words, whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. I am reminded that for as long as the church has existed, the person that we are to offer the cup of cold water to has changed and challenged us. My prayer is that every single petition will pass at General Conference, and that all of our brothers and sisters will receive full membership into the life of the church. But I also pray that as we move towards a more equitable system, that we offer grace to the ones who see things a different way. Because the church is a family. Good or ill, the church sometimes as a family supports us, and sometimes that same family hinders our ability to be who God calls us to be. But the church is a family made from one blood, struggling to offer each other grace. We all know that reconciliation is not always possible. We should always offer it. But sometimes those who differ with us will not accept our offer. But we offer it just the same. In Christ's name, we offer a cup of cold water to whomever is in need at that moment. We reach out our hands to others as those who have been recipients of that grace-filled cup ourselves. And we join with the Holy Spirit down that slippery slope to the final destination of God's kingdom for all people. Amen.
Will you please stand and consecrate our time together?